you know, besides just the niche and target marketing, a lot of what we do is educational seminar based. And so that's why I describe my practice as a financial wellness and educational consulting firm, because a lot of times that's how we introduce ourselves to clients, rather than cold calling or knocking on doors or, you know, spamming everyone's inboxes. It's really reaching out and saying, listen, you know, we would like to get involved and become an educational resource.
You're an entrepreneur, and you make vital decisions that hopefully blossom into a business. You're the savvy, out-of-the-box risk-taker who believes wholeheartedly in the process of innovation. Innovation that will change the world. This is CEO Chat with Gresham Harkless, and you're about to embark on a journey through the awesome world of business. Gresham is the epitome of drive and desire as he works to help support small businesses and entrepreneurship. And you're about to learn from this entrepreneur how you can improve your odds of success in the business world. Welcoming the host of CEO Chat, here's Gresham Harkless.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresham Harkless from CEO Chat, powered by CVNation.co and Blue 16 Media, your choice for all your digital marketing needs. This was an awesome chat with Joseph Jones, who is a vice president at AXA Advisors, which is a global brand and organization that provides financial services. Joseph and his team provide wealth management services and financial education to help accumulate and protect the wealth of local families, small businesses, and nonprofits. During the chat, we spoke about his background, some of his best practices that he's learned from starting and growing his business, and what we can learn as entrepreneurs and business owners and even nonprofit leaders to be successful. So what I want you to do is just sit back and enjoy this CEO chat with Joseph Jones from AXA Advisors.
All right, Joe, are you still there with me?
I am.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you so much for kind of taking time out of your schedule to just kind of speak with us. Tell us a little bit about you and your background. Usually the first thing that I do is just ask if you could introduce yourself to us. Tell us a little bit about you, your background, and what kind of led you to where you are now.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. So I am a regional vice president of AXA Advisors. I run a wealth management and consulting firm here in Arlington, Virginia. Most of what I do and my team does is centered around financial wellness and education, mostly with helping local families, small businesses, and nonprofits in the area with those needs. So a little how I got into the business is about how 75% of our advisors typically get into the business, and that's either through referral or off of a college campus. And for me, that was both. So I was referred in by a friend of mine, and 2 weeks before I graduated, I ended up getting hired and kind of just leapt straight into this career.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, it's so rare to kind of hear people that actually do something or get introduced in college and they're still doing it. So definitely good for you and being able to kind of continue on with that.
Yeah. And a lot of that really stemmed from me applying all over the place. And I found out through that process what I loved to do, what I didn't love doing. And you know, you kind of start whittling down that list, and it ended up being perfect. And some of it was luck as well. But I started off in our Jacksonville, Florida market, moved up to our DC market about a little over a year ago now. And it's been amazing. I can't see myself doing anything different. So obviously, I made a good choice at 22.
Yeah, that definitely sounds good. It's funny because I always say, like, there's kind of like binaries, this idea of to experience good, you have to know bad. And sometimes it sounds like when you start to experience things that you don't want to do, when you actually get the position that you're comfortable with and you love doing, that's usually what kind of leads you towards that.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely important to be able to take not so positive or more negative experiences and draw at least something from it. I think that stems into a lot of what it is that I do day by day, you know, because we can't look at everything as a standalone event. It's a learning opportunity, if anything, and it's an opportunity to grow. And this is definitely a type of career where I've grown and matured a lot as an individual and as a professional.
Awesome. 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 So could you tell us a little bit more about like what you do and what services you provide?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we're a comprehensive planning shop when it comes to finances and financial wellness. You know, so someone can come in and work with us for just basic education on their benefits or on, you know, a very particular need that they have in the financial space. And, you know, that goes all the way up to top tier financial planning. So all different types of products and services, and we work with all different types of individuals through that process. I think for me and my team, the biggest thing is working with people that we get along with, first and foremost, and realize that, you know, it's a two-way process. We don't want to just be giving a service and kind of just be pitching it that way. We are looking to work with people long-term, you know, to retirement, through retirement, or through the generational wealth management process. So, you know, being able to be selective with who we work with is great, but also having that full scope of what we are able to cover is also nice too, because you know, just because somebody needs one particular need covered today doesn't mean that's all that they'll ever need. So it's nice to be in that broad spectrum, and it really allows us to work on a case-by-case basis for that tailored and customized financial plan, because everyone deserves and needs their own standalone plan and something that's customized to their needs rather than a cookie-cutter plan.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And it sounds like the word that was just ringing in my ear was the idea of like that kind of a holistic approach, because even though someone might just want to do a 401k or something like that, later on, they might decide that they want to start a business or do something along that those lines. So you're able to kind of provide those holistic services to your clients.
Yeah, 100%. And it's nice too, because it allows me and my team to kind of, you know, specialize in our special areas as well. So, you know, for instance, when I first started off, I was more tailored into the retirement benefit space. It's a great space to be in. A lot of people have questions, and it's just good business first and foremost, but a lot of people need the help, which is the main issue and the main reason for me joining that. But then I started getting asked other questions and seeing other needs, identifying those with my client base. So I realized I had to expand my practice. And a lot of that came with me growing as an individual and growing my skill set, but also surrounding myself with other niche advisors who had their specialties that rounded out our group, but to where I didn't necessarily have to take on that specialty myself. And, you know, it's definitely something that the industry is trending that way, rather than having these quote unquote generalists that try and know everything, but are, you know, fairly mediocre at everything. You know, they're not great at anything. I can be great in what it is I am actually great at. Surround myself with similar individuals, and holistically through that team, with that organizational approach, we can take care of a client as specialist, which is obviously what I love to do as well.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I mean, I feel like that's just kind of like a good business principle to always make sure that you're focusing, or first and foremost, you're kind of identifying what your strengths are, and maybe to another degree, what your passions are, and then you're going to double down on that rather than doing those things that you may not be as strong in. You want to showcase yourself as a specialist in this specific industry.
Yeah, and I think in the same vein, realize what your weaknesses are as well, and realize that you have that need. If you want to, you know, actually help people out the way that everyone envisions, and that's, you know, anyone that comes in, as long as you like them and they like you, that you end up doing business. Well, that's really only going to happen if you can do a little self-reflection and realize, you know what, I'm not that great in this specific product or this specific avenue of the business. I need somebody like this that will complement my personality or complement my skill set. So it's definitely the reflective part in knowing what you're good at, but reflective and also that you know what you're not so great at either.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure that you're staying in your lane. That whole idea of self-awareness is pretty much can make or break, you know, people and what they're doing career-wise or even from a business standpoint.
Yeah, definitely.
So could you, I guess, take us a little bit more through like what you do to kind of help people that have businesses, and mainly because our target market and people that listen to the content that we create is usually entrepreneurs and business owners. Obviously, those entrepreneurs and business owners also are individuals, but could you kind of focus a little bit more on what you can kind of do to kind of help out businesses?
Yeah, definitely. So I think a lot of the reason why I started my own business, and through that, basically a franchise of the AXA brand, was probably the same reasoning that all the entrepreneurs that are listening to this podcast started their own businesses as well. And it really comes down to, you know, how much impact I can have on my local community, the independence of being able to build my own practice the way that I saw fit, and then also the unlimited income earning potential with that. You know, the high success rate, you know, can bring in a lot with that. So that's kind of my mindset around starting something like this. And through working with AXA, it was really just the models that they had in place, like you mentioned, target market. You know, it's something I could easily kind of plug into. Somebody fresh out of college, just 22 years old, you know, understandably, I didn't know how to run a business, you know, super efficiently, but I didn't have to know everything. So I was able to kind of tap into those markets. And so a lot of times when working with those markets, it's really just, it has a lot to do with, you know, just finding out a group that you have a passion for or an affinity towards or some type of common interest. Because, you know, you're going to work with that group that much better. You're going to care about it that much more. And with the amount of hours that entrepreneurs put in, it's a lot more beneficial to put in those hours in something that you wholeheartedly care about. And so we have advisors that work strictly with nonprofits. And we have some advisors that are only working with healthcare industry professionals. You know, some that are working with new and emerging families, transitioning military members, certain geographic focuses, small businesses, larger corporations, legal professionals, career transitioners. I mean, you name it, we have a certain niche that's pre-built out that somebody's kind of tackling. And again, the nice part about it is very collaborative environment, to where even if this is a, say, a small business law firm, our small business advisor and our legal professional advisor will typically go in there together rather than, you know, combat each other. So it's that collection of resources. And then, you know, besides just the niche and target marketing, a lot of what we do is educational seminar based. And so that's why I describe my practice as a financial wellness and educational consulting firm, because a lot of times that's how we introduce ourselves to clients rather than cold calling or knocking on doors or, you know, spamming everyone's inboxes. It's really reaching out and saying, listen, you know, we would like to get involved and become an educational resource. You know, a lot of times employees are asking for this and we'll come in and we'll do it for free. And obviously through that process, it allows us to set ourselves aside as professionals that actually know what we're talking about in the space, give those, you know, say nonprofit employees or small business employees that opportunity to meet somebody in person that they know that they can go to if they ever have any questions. So the educational seminars are huge, and there's a wide range of the topics that we can cover. You know, some of it's just the basics of life insurance or basics of investing, budgeting, planning for college. And obviously we can get, you know, a lot more advanced with the topics as well, depending on the needs and goals of that type of meeting. Now, anywhere from employment transition, custom tailored retirement planning, estate planning, again, you name it. It's really, what does this group need? What are they comfortable with? And then how can we help best support that organization?
Awesome. And definitely, you know, knowledge is power. So you doing those, you know, educational seminars and workshops definitely help out, you know, a ton, I imagine. And I've always even heard from like a business owner standpoint, the people that are really successful are kind of maniacal in the amount of information that they're taking in, and whether they're listening to podcasts or they're reading books or they're going to different, you know, events and workshops and having those for their employees, those seem to be some of the most successful people in the world. So definitely kudos to you for like setting those things up to kind of help empower people as well.
Yeah, you know, and it's part of our core values as an organization for ourselves as well. You know, that continuing education component in whichever fashion each individual decides that they want to grow. You know, for some people, it's going on with graduate level education, getting their MBA. For some people, it's getting certain certificates or designations through work. For some, you know, like you mentioned, sometimes it's just, you know, listening to podcasts or growing their professional development through, you know, audiobooks and kind of just, you know, self-reflection. So it can be a wide spectrum. And we're honestly just here to help facilitate that in whichever way that we possibly can.
Awesome. And having grown your business, what types of things have you noticed that have been successful practices or successful things that you've been able to do to kind of help grow your business?
Yeah, the biggest thing is referrals. I mean, you know, being a referable individual, referable organization is king. It's the way that everybody likes to do business. It's the way that everybody knows that business ideally should be done. And so, you know, it really just breaks down to treating everybody like they are your best client and treating them like they're your only client as well. And making sure that every interaction is top-notch. And so even if I'm reaching out to an organization and they're not interested in me coming to give an educational seminar, or they just don't allow that, you know, based off of their bylaws or organization, that's okay. You know, who's to say that that organization may not be a client, but they can't be advocates, or they can at least leave with a good impression. And obviously that's good marketing for my organization as well. So it's really approaching every interaction in that fashion is really what I think sets aside an individual or organization to be referable. And I think being cognizant of the fact that everybody else wants referrals too. So being that connector, being that center of influence for other people is massive. And it's kind of crazy to think and take that step back and realize, you know, how much more help you'll get as an organization, as an entrepreneur, the more times that you are giving out and just giving to others as well. Yeah, you're just giving out that positive energy into the universe, and inevitably it always returns back. So the referrals are king. I mean, you know, obviously if somebody's already working with us or has a really great impression of us, it's a lot better than me cold calling somebody. And it's a lot more fun to get that call and say, hey, you know, I just talked to your client that you signed up last week for this seminar. It sounds great. How do I get going on that too? Now that person's already sold. All I have to do is just follow through with my word and give them the same best experience. So I think referrals are, I would say, at least 75 to 80% of what it is that I do. Networking with that and every interaction, treating it like a referable interaction. And then, you know, it's the activity on my own, knowing exactly how I want to grow my practice through the seminars, through the individual consultations, you know, certain projects that we'll, and events that we'll put on. And then, you know, having the guts to actually reach out to people and be okay with it if they are not down with my vision or it's not in line exactly with their company's goals as well. But, you know, still striving forward through that whole process.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, you definitely said a lot of great information there. And I think, especially for people, sometimes people will look at referrals in one way and they'll say that, you know, a referral is always somebody that comes in and buys whatever our products or services are. But sometimes it might be a referral partner or somebody that's a good relationship or somebody to build that, kind of build your network and build your overall sphere of influence with. And I think that a lot of people get kind of short-sighted in relationships and also in those interactions. But it seems like you have a good handle on, you know, the importance of building relationships and the importance of providing value and giving. And, you know, that usually comes back.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's that old concept of, you know, where people are, you're looking for careers and they're career transitioning and they're trying to do the whole 100 cups of coffee. You know, let me grab 100 cups of coffee with people that might connect me with somebody. And at the end of that, I've probably found somebody who wants to hire me or somebody who knows somebody who wants to hire me. And I try and take that concept into every quarter rather than just to kickstart my business or rather than just once a year. How can I squeeze in this many interactions all at once? Because again, if anything, it's keeping my skill set sharp. It's bringing up advocates in the community that might not have been there otherwise. And if there's a way that I can help out, then why not? Right. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for some help. I'm looking for some guidance. I'm looking for some connection. If I can do that myself, I feel good about what it is that I do every day.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome, Joe. So I know we spoke a little bit about entrepreneurs and business owners. So obviously that being most of our audience, if you could provide two or three tips, general tips or information for entrepreneurs and business owners, what would they be to kind of help out with what it is that you provide?
Yeah, I think the biggest tip that I got when I was first starting as an entrepreneur or starting as, you know, opening my business was to know what your why is. And what I mean by that is, you know what drives you every day, the reason why you decided that you were crazy enough to open up your own business and deal with all the stresses and all the craziness of that day to day. It's not just knowing that why, but it's reminding yourself of that why daily. Because it is challenging to build your own business, and having that clear focus of why you're embarking on that great journey, in my opinion, is paramount. Because you're not going to accomplish your goals or dreams if you don't keep that vision and that focus at all times, either because you stray from your intended path or you don't stick with it long-term. So knowing your why, I think, has to be key. I think building your support network, I've already touched on. I like that from a personal standpoint. A lot of times people will take the negatives of running a business, the negatives of sales, the negatives of prospecting for a business, and they understand why having a support network is important for that, to keep you from getting too down in the dumps or too off track with your thoughts. Because, you know, if you lose track of that train of thought and that focus, then that could translate to days of unproductive activities. But I also look at it as, you know, keeping me from getting too high when things are all going great, because I have bigger goals to accomplish than just that one goal I just accomplished. I have year-end plans. I have 3-year plans. I have 5-year plans. I have 20-year plans. And so having that support network to keep me level at all times will keep me at my most productive state. And I think that's a good way to approach it. And then, again, I touched on this briefly before as well, but I think getting comfortable with the fact that you're going to be uncomfortable a lot of times, whether that's making mistakes and you're not typically that person in their life that has hit struggles, or, you know, that success kind of came easy to them. Or, you know, you're trying something where you're cold calling a bunch of people. And, you know, as anyone who's ever done that knows, you get hung up on a lot of times. People are rude to you, but being okay with that and not taking each individual quote unquote negative action or reaction as something that's just negative. Being able to reflect on that and grow from it, grow from those mistakes and those unknowns is huge, not just for you as an individual, but for you as an entrepreneur and as a business owner. So I think that daily, you know, let's try it and see what happens attitude is really, really effective to grow quickly your skill set and success as a business owner. So that you have that fail-forward mentality. I know I'm going to screw up, but I'm okay with that. Because when I screw up today, I'm going to be better for it tomorrow. Or if I have to screw up 100 times in this certain action, you know, in order to be good at something, well, you know, why don't I just fail at something 200 times and do it today so that by the time I wake up tomorrow, I'm just amazing at it. So it's that mindset shift, I think, is key. And I think the best entrepreneurs, the best business owners are the ones that have that healthy mindset to where they're okay with those things. You know, and nobody likes to fail. Nobody likes to be unsuccessful. But if you can take that and be better because of it, then you're at the top of your game and you can't really ask anything else of yourself.
Yeah, I would definitely, you know, echo that. And, you know, I think in what you spoke about from the very beginning, which is making sure that you know your why. And I think that when you're doing those cold calls and somebody hangs up on you, it's not the end of the world because you have a strong why and you're able to kind of like reach back to that or look at that and see that I'm doing this for this specific reason. And I think, like you mentioned, you know, your support network or the idea of this mastermind where you have people that collectively can help you to get through things or even help you to make sure that you're staying true to your goals is huge, a huge kind of indicator of success for most entrepreneurs and business owners.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it shows too, when you have your interactions with, you know, potential clients or with your existing clients, if you have a strong vision and focus in your practice, you know, it's not 100% effective to try and judge somebody's ethics and morals through a phone conversation today or maybe even the first time you meet them in person. But you can definitely pick up on if you get a good vibe from somebody or if you get a bad vibe from somebody. And it's important to be aware of that as a business owner, or as somebody who, you know, has a service or a product to provide, because that's what our potential clients out in the marketplace are thinking. They're trying to judge us off snap judgments if we give them a good vibe or a bad vibe. So it's going to be a bad vibe if 100% clicking with our personal virtues and sticking with that. So I think having that strong focus, that strong internal compass is so huge. And again, you know, it really just comes back to being passionate, so passionate about what it is that you do, that even when you screw up, it doesn't matter because you're here for the right reasons and you know that. And it's not a no, it's a, you know, no, not right now. Or no, it's not great for this person, but it's, you know, it's a great service or product for a lot of different people. You just have to talk to them first. You have to find them. And so, you know, nothing's going to come easy. But when you do talk to those people that are 100% in lockstep with your goals and your vision as a business owner and as an organization, you know, you're going to impact each other so immensely.
Exactly. Understanding that failure is not final and making sure that you fail fast, because the quicker that you're able to quote unquote fail, the quicker you are to kind of bear the fruits of those lessons that you can learn from, you know, whatever activity that you did.
Yeah, I agree 100%. The quicker you can start, the quicker you can get comfortable with that, the better.
Exactly. Well, awesome. So I know that you're in this DC, Maryland, and Virginia area, and there's a lot of kind of nonprofit organizations and associations around here. Do you have anything specific as far as advice that you would give to those people that might be nonprofit organizations or associations?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. I actually just moved from our Jacksonville, Florida marketplace a little over a year ago, and I had a great relationship with the nonprofits locally there. And that was a lot because of what they did as far as networking together. So, you know, when one or a few organizations started realizing that they liked doing business with me, that they liked having me come in and providing the educational benefits and seminars to their employees, it was very quick and easy to be able to kind of work through that network. And it really wasn't even because, based off of my doing, it was really because they had such a close relationship through networking already, sharing resources and marketing and facilities in some cases as well. It just helped to weed out individuals and organizations and benefits that they just didn't think were great. You know, if this organization I partner with closely says that it's not good, then we don't really even have to vet you because we already know based off their opinion. But in the same sense, that if they liked me, I could easily tap in and help out these other organizations as well. So I think networking together is something that a lot of areas don't do a great job at as far as their nonprofits and small businesses as well, where there'll be a lot of different avenues to network as small business owners, but there's not a real extensive list of benefits and tools and resources available to them. I think also really just having a bigger focus on employees' financial and overall wellness and education is definitely something that we see lacks a lot. And that's why I worked a lot with nonprofits in Jacksonville, why I work a lot with nonprofits up here, because, you know, a lot of times when you get somebody who's, say, working at a nonprofit, it's because they're passionate about that cause, because they care a lot about what it is that they do, all the great work that they do on a daily basis. And more often than not, the people that are so focused on helping others tend to overlook a lot of things when it comes to taking care of themselves. So getting back to those basics and realizing that we're going to be better in our organization and our overall mission and our overall goals, we can take care of ourselves, make sure our employees stay here, the passionate ones that are awesome at what they do, so we can keep having that lasting impact on our community. And then, you know, last, I think it's really just don't be afraid to take some of the same advice that, you know, we're giving some entrepreneurs, you know, through this podcast is a perfect example. That having that clear focus and being unwavering in your goals and your vision is huge. And, you know, realizing that everything comes back to that great work that you do every day. And so sometimes it's tough and sometimes it's difficult. And it's definitely not an easy thing to do when it comes to starting up a new nonprofit or working for a cause when you feel like a lot of people are working against you. But it is simple. And it's simple in that all you have to do is just keep doing what you know works and keep, you know, caring as much as you care and keep putting in that good work and it'll pay off. it might not be as quickly as you like or as quickly as you'd expect, but it'll pay off and people will recognize those actions.
Awesome. Awesome information and tips. And I love the fact that you mentioned about the nonprofit sometimes not taking care of themselves, because I never looked at it like that, but I always know that people that are givers, they kind of can overextend themselves in helping other people out. But if you look at the heart of a nonprofit, what they're doing is, generally speaking, you know, they usually have a mission to try to help out, you know, whatever, I guess, their target market is, so to speak. So sometimes when you're overextending and you're giving in support of a specific cause, sometimes you forget to kind of take care of what's in-house. So I'm glad that you mentioned that and you pointed that out.
Definitely.
So I know you gave us a great amount of information. So I wanted to kind of give you the floor a little bit more just to see if there was anything additional that you wanted to tell our readers or listeners. And then the next question would be just how, if people are interested, they would be able to get in touch with you.
Yeah, I think a last thing or a last tip that I would give is, you know, if you're passionate about something, don't wait. Don't wait to take that leap and try it out. You know, whether it's a new business endeavor or some type of expansion of your current business ventures, or, you know, it's some innovative concept you come up with. I mean, we need entrepreneurs to keep pushing our perceived limits. We need people that are going to keep pushing those bounds, because that's how we grow as a society. You know, so I think having people okay with taking those leaps is step one, so that we can give them the courage and the tools and resources through, you know, your organization is a perfect example, to get out there and try it, because you never know when it could completely change everything. I think for me, it allowed me to learn a lot about myself through that process. And again, you know, you're doing something that you love. So at the end of the day, it might be something that you kind of move on to something different, but you're going to enjoy the time that you do put into it. As far as getting in contact with me, I am super active on all forms of social media. Best way is actually either my website or my LinkedIn. My LinkedIn is probably the easiest way to search me. You can just search Joseph Jones AXA Advisors. And somehow I'm the only Joseph Jones that works for AXA Advisors. So I will be the first and only one to pop up. And then, you know, like I said, I'm on there pretty much all day, communicating with clients and prospects and, you know, just with my community as much as I can. So if you shoot me a message or shoot me an invitation to connect, I'll definitely accept.
Awesome. Awesome. And how can we find your website, Joe?
My website is josephryanjones.com. No crazy spelling there. Joseph, J-O-S-E-P-H, Ryan, R-Y-A-N, Jones, J-O-N-E-S.com. That's my full name.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. And we'll have both of those links to your LinkedIn and then to the website in the show notes, just in case anybody wants to click right through. But Joe, thanks again so much for, you know, taking time out. Lots of great information and lots of great value you gave to us. So I hope that you just have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. You too. I appreciate it.